Morning, Nick. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
You're good.
How's your week been? Or oh, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, how long it's been?
3 weeks. Yeah, it's been good. It's been a bit of a strange week this week. One of our, not neighbours, but someone six doors down passed away yesterday.
Oh, that's sad.
So it's a bit of a weird thing. And so I did a lot of thinking about it last night. So yesterday was Thursday. Yeah, so on Wednesday, because I go and collect Isabel from school every day. So me and Isabel were walking home from school and their two neighbours know each other. They were chatting outside, having a laugh, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Socially distanced, as far as I was aware, before anybody jumps to any conclusions. and they could have been in their own social bubble as well, so who knows. But anyway, having a good time and so on. And then yesterday, doing the same walk home from school, same sets of neighbours, except one's lying on the floor, and the other one's doing bloody CPR, doing chest compressions and everything. And it's just goes crazy how quickly, you know, go from one day to the other. And so it seems like the chap was doing some gardening outside and just keeled over.
Yeah.
And I sent Isabel home. And because we live on a new housing estate, it's not mapped on lots of sat navigation systems. And so the ambulance was having trouble finding the place. And so I ran to like the main road to direct the ambulance in and kind of helped them out from that point of view. But yeah, it's strange, really.
What a horrible experience. Yeah. It's not good.
It's all because what I was thinking about last night was, like, obviously this chap could have just spoke to his wife, gone out to do a bit of gardening, keeled over, and that's it. And you always think you'd rather, well, I always thought anyway, you'd kind of rather go suddenly rather than have like a long-standing illness type thing. Yeah. But having thought about it last night and experienced it a little bit and thought about it a little bit, I think perhaps my opinion has changed. And while you wouldn't want years of misery and long-standing illness and so on, you know, the thought of just speaking to someone, going outside and something, and then, you know, never speaking to them again is also a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess you'd want to get your kind of affairs in order before that happened, if it was going to happen.
That's it. Yeah. That question's always posed, isn't it? Like, would you like to know when your time is coming and so on?
Yeah.
And perhaps my opinion, having gone through a situation where that is applicable, has potentially changed, I guess. But anyway.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah. Bit of a somber moment to start the podcast on, but yeah.
Yeah.
These things happen. But other than that, the good news, going straight to good news, is the kids are obviously at school, which is why I was walking Isabel home every day. I'm walking her to school.
Yeah.
So that's been good.
That is good, isn't it? Yeah. Have you found you've got a lot more peace and quiet around the house now then?
Strangely, it is quiet, or eerily quiet, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm used to a lot more noise, so
I've been enjoying it as well, actually. Although Lois is pretty quiet anyway, you know, being a teenager now. It's just nice just to have the place to yourself, you know, and you can wander around. If I want to go and sit in the front room for a bit and read a book or whatever for 10 minutes, half an hour, it's fine. You know, there's no fighting over anything or any space or anything like that. So it's really good. Yeah, really enjoying it.
The problem I have is that because the three kids are quite young, so the oldest is 7, Charlie's the youngest, he's 4. Like, it's a hassle to get them out in the morning. That's always hard work.
Yeah.
And then when they come home from school, they're always tired and grumpy. So you never get to see the best part of your kids anymore, do you, when they're this age, I guess?
Yeah, that is a shame, yeah, with school. You have to make the most of the holidays if you can.
True, yeah. But I'd still much rather they'd be at school and they'd rather be at school as well, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, it works out, doesn't it?
But they're not school fit. They're definitely like, they come home tired. Kind of Tuesday evening, you're like, how the hell are they going to make it through the whole of the week?
Mind you, I feel like that most weeks. So. Yeah, it's funny. With Lois being a teenager at secondary school, she had to go through the whole testing. So the first 2 weeks from the 8th were basically, they had to be tested 3 times in those 2 weeks. So that was interesting. And I actually volunteered to help out with the testing at Lois's school. So I did a day's worth on a Friday, and then I did a couple of half days. Mm-hmm. It was a real eye opener. It was amazing what the school had to put together, and all secondary schools for that matter. You know, so the sports hall had turned into like a medical center with 6 bays of testing sort of bays going on. And I did a day and 2 half days, and it was 90 tests a day that I was doing. And so over the 2 weeks that the school was doing tests, they did close to 6,000 tests in that time. It's incredible. So it was amazing. It was a real eye opener. And the kids were amazing as well. I was expecting the kids to be in bits, really, having to stick things up their nose and down the throat and all that. But they were all just took it in their stride. So
get on with it, do they?
It was good. Yeah, absolutely. They're really adaptable, aren't they? It's just, it's really, Yeah, so but it's great for kids being back at school, and for me especially, with primary schools being back and all the clubs being back, although not fully populated, it's been good. I've had a bump a couple of weeks in terms of demos and trials.
And customers? Pretty much
I've got several. Do you know, I can't even remember how many I've actually turned into customers, because there's always a lot of conversation to and froing, you know, from the demos. There's always email follow-ups and questions and trials. There's generally a bit of backwards and forwards as well. But I know of, off the top of my head, at least three that have turned into customers, and there will be more. So that's good news.
Hmm. Did you read that book that I recommended to you, Make Time?
Yeah, I'm about halfway through it. I've got a note on my little notes list here of what's your highlight for today, Nick?
It is actually user access control stuff. But I was going to talk about it because I recommended it to yourself and Fleming, didn't I?
Yeah.
So it's called Make Time. I can't remember who it's written by, but you've got it in front of you, so you can say their names if you can pronounce them.
It's on my phone, so I'll have to quickly
do that. Oh, don't worry. We can link to it in the show notes anyway, can't we?
Yeah.
I listened to the last podcast just before coming on this one to catch up on what we spoke about last time. So I've got some things to hold you accountable to as well, so be prepared. I said last time about feeling quite overwhelmed with everything that I was trying to get done and so on.
Yeah.
And so reading that book kind of was, it's funny how you often stumble across books at like the right time. And some other times you'll be trying to read the book and it won't
ring, doesn't resonate.
That's the right word. But also I was listening to Cal Newport's podcast and someone else was talking about burnout and so on. I sent in a question about it, and so to fix my feeling of overwhelm, I've gone to doing quarterly planning.
Okay.
And then so from that, just things I want to try and get done that quarter, so sit down and think about it for a bit, and from that each month set up monthly planning, and then looking at your monthly plans each week, whether it's on a Friday for the next week or a Monday for the start of the week, set out a weekly plan or theme I've written down, because theme is what they talk about more in that book, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's just helped a lot. So it's helped me focus on what I'm going to get done that quarter as much as what I'm not going to get done that quarter. Right. So it's a lot easier for me to say no to stuff and park ideas and not worry about, you know, trying to get something done.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I flip-flop between different types of planning like that, and I'm now running without a plan, really, just going day to day, which is pretty crap. I should really do that a bit better. The book, by the way, is by Jake Knapp and John Zaratsky.
Yeah,
make time. I'll put it in the show notes anyway. But it's good. I'm only halfway through it, but so I'm just really looking at the idea of having a highlight every day.
Yeah.
Where you
I said theme rather than highlight, but highlight, you're right.
Yeah, so it's like something that you can spend a couple of hours or 3 hours on or something, you know, a decent chunk of time that you'll look forward to for that day and want to get done. And then the idea is that they build up over time and compound to get the stuff done. So yeah, it's a nice idea.
I liked it because I always think about what's the one thing I want to get done, like the main thing that you want to get done each day.
Yeah.
But by thinking of things as highlights or themes, it's not focusing on just one thing. Mm. Because at the moment, for example, I'm working on user access control stuff in SEO testing. And so while I could come up with the most important thing or one thing I want to get done today, by thinking of it as more of a highlight or theme, you know, I can add multiple things to that thing to get done. So I'm not just focused or stressed about one particular thing. It's, you know, two or three little things. Because whenever I think of what's the one thing I want to get done today, there's always more than one thing.
Yeah.
When you're working on something, and so by thinking it as a highlight or theme, it kind of puts my mind at ease a bit more.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I just said I don't really have a plan, but I mean I've got a list of things that I know I need to do, and I have like a paper diary, proper, you know, book paper diary, which is one of those sort of week view things, you know, 5 day weeks over 2 pages. And I sort of write at the top of Monday, I write, what's the one thing I need to get done this week, or, you know, really want to get done this week. And then by the end of the week, I've always got two or three other ones underneath that, which I think, oh, these would be good to get done as well, which is kind of defeating the object. But this highlight thing, I started to do it. So do my one big thing for the week, and then I sort of break it down or add other things in as highlights for the days. And it's nice, because I think calling it a highlight, it's a silly thing, but it makes it mentally different to a chore, you know. If it's something you want to get done, because once it's done it makes you feel better, then it's still a highlight and it's mentally a bit nicer to approach, rather than this horrible eat the frog type thing that you hear people talk about.
Yeah, So I thought I would call out the highlights, not highlights, because we talked about highlights, the points in the book that I've tried to implement in my life. Because I know you're halfway through the book, but you might,
that you'll
come across, because it's all numbered, isn't it? Is there 100 in total, 100 ideas to try?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, you're on Kindle, aren't you? You can't quickly see it. Yeah. So yeah, I thought I would go through the numbers. So number 12, just say no.
Okay.
So that helps with the quarterly planning, because I can easily say no to stuff now. It's as much just saying no to myself when I get new ideas of things to do and try.
Yeah.
Shiny new object syndrome, as we've spoken about many, many times.
Yeah.
So yeah, just say no, number 12. Number 13, design your day around time blocking.
Oh, okay.
So I know you're a proponent about time blocking because you built a whole app for it.
Yeah, which is now dead, yeah.
You're not using it. You should still be using it yourself.
No.
Number 17, creating a distraction-free phone.
Right.
So I actually removed Safari from the bottom toolbar on my iPhone and moved it all the way. Like I created a, you know, you can add screens on, can't you, to page through.
Yeah.
So I created one. I paged as far like 7 screens along. And I've added Safari on there now to try and stop me going on it.
Okay.
And it works. I definitely stop going on Twitter through the browser so much.
So. Yeah. So you don't have the Twitter app then?
No, I deleted that, but it doesn't stop me necessarily going on there.
Yeah.
And this is the annoying thing where password managers make life easier, because number 18 is sign out of social media accounts, which I do. But then you've got password managers, haven't you, which remember your password for you. So it's only one click to sign back in again. And then I've got two-factor authentication set up where it texts me through a code, but with the iPhone, it will automatically fill that code in for you as well. So I don't know. I need
it's
to
really
go to the
efficient,
extra level
but...
where, it is really efficient, annoyingly. I need to go to the extra level, perhaps where I reset the password once a week and I'll give you the password and then you don't withhold it from me.
So I become the password manager. You have to text me to get your password.
Yeah. I just outsource social media. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Number 25 was ignore the news, which we have said on both previous podcasts we're both trying to do anyway.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
Number 26, close all browser tabs at the end of the day.
Ah.
Yeah, I tried and I was making quite good progress, but then I've relapsed.
Yeah, I keep getting prompted by Chrome saying, you know, you can group these tabs if you want to.
Well, that makes the situation worse though, doesn't it?
Yeah, anyway. You just end up with 27 groups.
Number 34, deal with email at the end of the day. So I try and wait till lunchtime to do any support emails.
Yeah.
So I always try and get my highlight thing done or theme, whatever, in the morning.
Yeah, that, I find that one a bit difficult. That's quite a common one, isn't it? Try and do that. Mm. But if you've got customers, I suppose they can wait, you know, it's not the end of the world. But if you've got customers that or prospects that you're trying to nurture and you want to know, you know, you want to get in touch with them and respond to them quickly, I guess doing it every half day would probably be better for that. So you don't spend too long. They're not waiting for too long for replies.
Number 51, play a laser soundtrack. So when you're doing your deep work, play the same song all the way through, or say play the same album all the time to get your trick your mind into focusing and telling it that it's time for deep work.
So I kind of do that already, actually. I've got a soundtrack, Deep Focus, it's called. It's one of the streaming channels. And I just put that on and it's just kind of background and it's generally plays the same tracks. So it's the same sort of thing, same sort of idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done that at all, actually. I did it once or twice.
It's good. It's good. If you can block out the time and then play it whilst you're doing that, it does trick your mind into it.
Number 52, use a visible timer.
Oh, okay.
So for doing, I think that's like Pomodoro, isn't it, as much as anything?
Yeah.
So having a little timer there that you set to 20 minutes, 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. I've gone back to trying to use rescue time again and setting up focus time on that. So blocks, emails and all that kind of stuff. Number 61, exercise every day.
Every day.
So I include walking in that. So walking is about 2, school and picking her up from school. What's quite good actually is on my Apple Watch, you can set, move target or activity. There's activity. Let's look. Yeah, there's a move target, an exercise target, and a stand target. And basically set, it suggests values for you of what you should try and hit every day based on previous exercise and so on. And through walking, I managed to hit those. So that's pretty good for me.
That's good.
That's
yeah.
my target I set. This is a big one for me that I've been doing. Number 67, stay hungry, which is intermittent fasting. So I have been cutting out breakfast and not eating past 8 o'clock. So only eating midday till 8 p.m.
Wow, that sounds tough.
It's not as hard as it sounds, actually. I found it relatively easy. Unless I've drank alcohol the night before. So alcohol doesn't count yeah. for me. I invent my own rules and I made up my own mix of rules here. So
yeah.
I can drink alcohol after 8 p.m. That's fine. But then often if I have drunk alcohol the night before, I struggle and I will probably eat breakfast.
Yeah.
So it's not a hard and fast thing. But on a normal day, I've not had alcohol before. Skipping breakfast is no problem whatsoever.
Don't you find you're working hangry in the morning?
No, I actually find, and it says this in the book, the person, one of the ones, the guys that do it, suggested it, actually more focused in the morning.
Right.
And okay. I find it a lot easier to be focused and get things done in the morning, skipping breakfast, for whatever reason. The reason why it works for me is because I was basically having 4 meals a day. So I would eat breakfast, big bowl of cereal and some muesli,
yeah.
eat lunch, eat dinner, and then I'd have a big bowl of cereal in the evening as well. So by skipping breakfast, I'm still effectively, if I have that bowl of cereal in the evening and just before 8 o'clock, I'm now having the normal 3 meals a day, and I'm cutting out any kind of morning snacking as well.
Right.
So
okay.
it could easily reduce, you know, 1,000 calories from my diet each day from doing it.
So what about the after lunch slump? I always get that where, you know, I eat breakfast and I don't feel as if I'm less productive in the mornings. Mornings are always my most productive times.
Yeah.
But after lunch, that's a real slog sometimes.
Yeah, so I don't get any afternoon slump.
Oh, okay.
So maybe, I don't know.
Did you beforehand?
If I ate a load of bread, I would do, yeah. So I don't know whether you have bread for lunch. I know you tried to
No,
cut
I don't. I've cut bread out. Yeah, I hardly ever eat bread.
So yeah, give it a try. The thing with all these things is, as the book says, just give them a try. And if they don't work or don't make a difference or you don't feel a difference, then you switch back. But
yeah.
I was quite surprised how easy it was to give up breakfast. 81, keep an energy list. So it's a list of people you can speak to that give you energy. So you'll be happy to know you're on my list, Martin.
Excellent. That's good. I made the cut. Good.
And if I've stopped talking to you, you're on my non-energy list. I'm sorry, but
that's
you're cut
fair
off. I can probably count on one hand how many people I regularly speak to anyway. But anyway.
Yeah, me too.
And number 83, this is my last one, keep your phone out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
So I have done that. So I've moved my charger into the office. And so I bring my phone into the office every night to charge up and leave it there.
Right, yeah.
That's helped me with checking Twitter before bed and
yeah.
actually read paper books now. I don't read a Kindle either, so no electronic devices. It's good.
Yeah. So I'm not too bad on a lot of that stuff I kind of do already, although not perhaps in that form. So my phone, I always just turn it off when I go to bed. So it's in my bedroom, but it's off, you know. Yeah, that's good. That's the good tips. Interesting to see how it goes over the coming weeks and whether you know, what you stick to, what you don't stick to, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, I went through these last night, actually, and this morning, because I put them down in a note on my phone, but I'm actually going to write them down on a bit of paper and stick them on the wall so I can remember them each day.
Because
I'd actually forgotten a couple of them in a couple of weeks since I'd read the book. But, yeah, that is a good one. I should have been doing that. Anyway, how far are you in the book?
I'm only just after the highlights section, actually. I've just read about stacking tasks. So if you've got a lot of things to do that are small things, you can make them into your highlight by building them all together, stacking them up together, and then putting them in as a highlight for a day to get through it all.
That's a recommend one for you, which is you should read more every day.
Yeah.
I recommended this book to you like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but you know.
You need like a reading record like where Isabel's got, where you write down every day how long you spent reading. Read an hour every day, Martin. I'll check it.
I probably do read an hour every day, but I just don't. I read lots of different stuff. So like at night time before I go to bed, I read fiction. It's just because I don't really want to be getting my mind stimulated with stuff like that, you know, business stuff. So this I just read, you know, every now and again. I'll pick it up and have a read through a bit of it. There's no great pressure for me, but... Yeah, I do. Actually, it's an interesting point because I do miss out on reading a lot of business books and stuff like that you see floating around, and I get a lot of FOMO about that and say, no, I really want to read that book, but it takes me ages to get to it. But I think, you know, I've got other things to spend my time on as well, and I don't feel like I'm missing out too much. So I'm not going to worry about it too much for now. I'll get through it. Just take my time.
This time next year, we can have a catch up and you can give me your list of things you pulled out.
Yeah. Oh, what's a really great idea is not having breakfast. Have you ever thought about that?
Right. Anyway, on to what you said you were going to do last week.
Right. And I've forgotten this.
Your support doc's linked into the website now.
Yes. Awesome.
Are they? Because I checked this morning. I didn't see them.
They are. LinkedIn, as in from the homepage or something.
Yeah.
No, they're not. Did I say I was going to do that?
That afternoon you said you were going to do it, yeah.
I put them on, definitely. Okay, good point. I didn't do it that afternoon.
I think you said you'd written the code to pull the content out. Yeah, you needed to make it live.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
You needed to make it live last week, which I included linking it in.
No, myself, okay, so it is live. It is all live. They're all on the website. And so
how are users and Google going to find them?
Well, Google's finding them. I mean, I submitted a sitemap with them all included. And so they have been indexed. I know that. But they're not linked from the homepage or anything. So I need to set up a link somewhere.
At least put a link in from the footer. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I will do that.
And then if there's anywhere that you mention great support or support docs in your other couple of landing pages, maybe just link to them as well.
Yeah. Well, they have to be great, though, if you're going to do that, surely.
Well, I assume they are.
Yes. Perfect, obviously. No, so I definitely did that, other than the link. So 9 out of 10.
No, the link is the most important thing.
Well.
It's like if we grade our children each night on how well they've eaten their dinner, because it actually motivates them to eat their dinner. And if they've eaten everything apart from the vegetables is the most important bit. So they're graded down. So
that's fair enough. Yeah.
The link is the most important bit. So.
Well, it's interesting you say that. I mean, I've noticed the traffic has been creeping up on the website over the past couple of months. Now, it's really difficult to know whether it's because of putting the support docs on there, getting these articles from a copywriter put on there, or just the fact that everybody's getting back to work and the schools are back now. It's really difficult to tell, but I think it's having a positive effect. So, yeah.
Well, it's a combination of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, so I've got one for you then now, actually, before you go on to the next one. You were going to do a training video, part of the partnership. You got that done?
I did the video, yeah. I did three videos and they sent some feedback, which I did ask for, and I haven't re-recorded them with that feedback built in.
Right, okay.
And I have been sitting on that for about 2 weeks. So I did do the first part of the task. So my dream was they would go, yeah, they're brilliant, Nick. We'll just go with those.
Yeah, but, yeah. No, your mistake was asking for feedback.
Well, I think it would have come anyway, to be honest. Yeah. So,
so when are you going to do that then?
Don't know, over the weekend maybe.
So by next time.
Problem is golf starts on Monday as well, so.
Oh, well, you've got to get it done. There's no benefit unless it's released.
I've been busy doing other stuff. I haven't been twiddling my thumbs.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
So yeah, I said last time about I'd hit 30% growth each month for the past couple of months, January, February, and hit that for March as well at the start of the week.
That's amazing.
This week. So that's 3 months of 30%.
That's brilliant.
I haven't checked out what trials per day is. Good, it's still low. So
excellent.
It's stuck at like 2 to 3 customers a month, which as the number of customers is increasing, the percentage is going down. So
yeah,
not worried about it.
Great.
And the ones that do churn or have churned, one of them is like they're closing the website down or something like that. And another one was someone's left the business, like their SEO person, and not replaced them quite yet. Yeah. Those kind of things. So it's not like the product hasn't done or doesn't do what we want it to do type stuff. But yeah, April is going to be, I expect April to be lower because I turned off paid ads on one of the channels at the start of the month to see what happened, which coincided in one of the partner marketing things I was talking about. Yeah. But with that partner marketing thing, the offer we were giving was a 60-day trial rather than 14 days. So all the people, although the sign-up and the trial rate was high at the start of March, those people aren't going to be ending their trial until the start of May. So they're not going to become customers in April. And so because I turned off paid ads, which was an experiment to see whether they were like generating leads, which it turns out it looks like they were, there's not that. Those aren't coming through the funnel to kind of end their trial at the start of April, at least. So yeah, I fully expect April to be lower, but there's like a reasonable reason for that.
Cool. Oh, that sounds good. I mean, 30% growth is amazing. You can't complain at that. And maybe if it's a bit lower in April, that'll still be good as long as it's growth, isn't it?
So,
Excellent.
Yeah, still happy with it. Yeah, been trying Facebook Pixel stuff. So I've had a Facebook Pixel running on the site for ages.
Yeah.
So I was going to try some retargeting stuff around people that are identified within Facebook as being that specific user coming back or looking at Facebook or whatever to show them support articles and articles about how to use the product better and so on. But then also to build a lookalike audience based off the website visitors. And you know, you need to be a Facebook expert itself, I think, to make the most of it, or a Facebook ads and retargeting expert. And the lookalike audience, it generates loads of clicks a day, but it just doesn't result in any registrations or anything.
Right, that's interesting. That's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did with my Facebook advertising, was the pixel and then lookalike audience. And it worked quite well for me, actually.
Did it? So yeah. I restricted it to the two countries that, you know, are most likely to bring in customers, or I've got most customers for. But I'll see. I haven't ruled it out yet. But I spoke to a couple of people. They said they don't trust Facebook lookalike audiences at all.
Oh,
unless
really?
You've got a big budget. And I don't think I would have the budget necessarily, potentially. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I going back about, you know, where to invest. We were talking about last time where to invest in building a team out and so on. The one thing I always realize I don't do is kind of lean on my own network in terms of people that, you know, I interact with regularly on Twitter and so on, just in terms of asking for advice. So I just put a tweet out this morning when I was thinking about all of this, saying, you know, who should I speak to about Facebook retargeting ads and so on. And hopefully I'll get some recommendations for a contractor or freelancer, and it'll be better for me to spend a couple of days paying them to look at it rather than me flailing around for a month or so or 2 months and wasting a bunch of money.
Coming around to that idea now of, you know, this has been on my list to do for months and I've never got around to it. Or whenever I do get around to it, I sit down and then, like you say, you log into Facebook ads or whatever, or some ad platform, and you just get bewildered by all the different options and what should I do? What shouldn't I do? And you can then go down the rabbit hole of, you know, working out how to do it, and it takes hours, and before you know it, you've got nothing done and spent half a day on it. You know, it's crazy. So I think you're right. I'm probably going to look to do that myself. I think I've already got a campaign in there, I might just turn it on, see what happens, and then try and make it work better as it goes. But for anything serious, I think that you're right, just hire somebody to get it set up at least.
Yep.
So I might be following your Twitter thread.
Well, there you go. Maybe we can get to give the same person two customers or something and strike some kind of deal.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds good.
But when I was coming looking through on thinking about other things to talk about, the one thing I wanted to talk about, I actually spoke about at length last episode as well, which is just being unsure about how to grow in terms of who to recruit and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I was mumbling on last time about, you know, wanting to hire someone to do the demos for me and all that kind of stuff, and even do webinars and so on. And I'm still at that point of, and I said this last time, it could almost do with a co-founder who's got a marketing and sales background, but is like a jack of all trades who can do like the paid ads, partner stuff, webinars and so on.
Yeah,
and so I think you could find someone like a contractor or freelancer. And this is where the difference is between like hiring someone or reaching out to contractors and freelancers. Like, you could find a contractor to do paid ads. You could perhaps find a contractor or freelancer to do partner stuff and want to do webinars. But it's almost at the point of view where you want to find someone, a jack of all trades, who can do all three. And that's kind of like, that kind of person is like almost a co-founder, isn't it? Like, that can do it all.
But yeah.
Maybe I'm talking myself out of it as I'm speaking, because as we said, you'd rather have an expert in one particular area anyway.
But I think a lot of the problem with this sort of stuff is that you want to have a lot of input into it, or you will have a lot of input into it in terms of what sorts of customers you want, you know, what they can probably provide the general marketing experience or whatever, and, you know, different how to do different things in different ways. But if you hire somebody to do it, you'll still always have the job of being oversight of that area and being involved and reviewing stuff and all that kind of thing. Whereas if you had a partner or a co-founder that you just said, look, you know the idea behind the products, you know the types of customers, just go for it and do it, then that takes it off your plate almost completely, you know.
Mm.
I think that's the difference, is if you hire a contractor, you still got to manage it all. So you'll save time, but you still have to, you know, convey your message to them so that they can convey it to your customers or prospects, as well as make sure that they're still doing stuff that you're happy with. And I guess they're always going to ask for approval on various things, you know. So
yeah,
it's still a job there for you to do.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
Probably be talking about it again next week, next podcast, but we'll see. But they're going to try and get someone to look at Facebook ads and retargeting first anyway, so we'll see how that goes. And it's funny talking about books and reading them at the right time and resonating. So Paul Jarvis has written a book called Company of One.
Yeah.
And I read it when it first came out, and I'll be honest, I didn't really think it was particularly great. I don't think I even finished it. I perhaps got halfway. But I'm kind of thinking now, it's perhaps I might revisit it and have a read of it again, because I'm at the point now whether to decide to employ people or whether to make use of freelancers and contractors, which is the argument he kind of uses in Company of One. And so, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I edge towards the idea of freelancers, but I do feel the pain of that, having to review what they're doing and you know, constantly provide feedback and guide what they're doing, rather than them having some ownership of part of the product. Therefore, you know, they can just go with it and just build it, but or do what is
whatever. This is all led from the problem of I want to the side that I enjoy doing most is the development side of things,
right?
And so that's why I kind of want to outsource or get someone else to take on the marketing and sales stuff, because it would be much easier to find developers to code stuff up and build stuff, and for me to move over and do marketing and sales. But that's not the bit I really enjoy. And so it's my own sticking point that's causing the issue of me wanting to keep writing code. But whereas I know with yourself, you've got a developer now, and you're writing code for you and stuff. I don't know how much time you spend doing code, whether you spend any time doing it at the moment, but you could, in my mind anyway, you're at least spending the time doing the marketing and sales function.
Well, that's it. I'm not. That's part of my problem, is that I do want to do that, and I keep looking at it and then getting, you know, a bit of yak shaving in terms of going down the rabbit hole of, oh, well, I can't do that before I do that, and I can't do this before I do that, and, you know, and you end up not doing anything. So I'm guilty of that totally. I spoke to my mastermind yesterday and got sort of told off a bit for it, because I need to get some marketing done, you know. So I've got a commitment to do that, set up at least another ad campaign or something, you know, to do something for the next couple of weeks. But yeah, because I see the developer I've got is only like 20 hours a week. So he's doing like half a week. And it's amazing how quickly you burn through 20 hours and get not that much done. So the progress is really disappointing to me. You know, I don't think, maybe he's working a bit slowly. I'm not sure. I need to catch up with him and just sort of find out what's going on there. But so I'm still diving into the code, and things like when I'm speccing out stuff for him to do, I'm like building the UI in HTML so that we can just use the HTML straight away rather than wireframing it and say, off you go. So I'm spending too long doing that, but I'm enjoying it and I really like it. And so, much like you, that's what's rewarding for me, is doing that rather than disappearing down the hole of marketing stuff. I don't know. Again, no answers there.
I think the trap for me would be that I take a decision, say, right, I'm going to get a developer in, or a lead developer or something like that, or just, you know, not write code anymore, basically, and get someone else to do it. I'm going to focus on sales and marketing. I reckon within a month or two, I'll be missing development and I'll have started up a side project to allow me to write some code.
Yeah, so you'll use up that time on your side project.
And the marketing and sales stuff won't get done anyway. So
yeah.
Or at least the side project would be a distraction from what I should be focusing on.
But. Yeah. I think I edge towards that way as well, to be honest. So I don't know. I think, like I say, I'm just going to try and force myself to do it, and hopefully I'll find a bit of a taste for it and then want to do more of it. I'm hoping that
I was thinking we should get Robin on the podcast to talk about it, because I haven't spoken to him for a little while, but my understanding is he doesn't write code anymore and he's moved. But I think, and this is why it would be interesting getting on a podcast, he was more in a product manager role anyway before he started his own thing. Is that right?
He's got a bunch of developers. So he's got developers working on the products. Yeah. I think you're probably right in that he's more of a product manager at the moment and dealing with all the.
But I think he was before he started up Corello as well. So
I see.
That was like his natural role to fall into. But again, I'm speaking on behalf of Robin, so perhaps we should get him on.
If you get him on, yeah. Let's see if he wants to come on. Yeah.
Cool. Right, I'm done, I think. Waffled on for enough.
Yeah, I'm done as well. I mean, I've got a few things going on. A bit of a high-level procrastination the past few weeks. I saw a man on the internet, Dean, he tweeted out that he's a AWS consultant, and he had some consulting time to go. And I've got, so all my stuff's on AWS, and I had a guy that was occasionally dip in and check everything's okay and do some sorting out of stuff and that kind of thing. Make some recommendations, but I haven't been able to get in touch with him for ages. He's just got really busy. And I think my work for him was probably peanuts, you know, so he wasn't that bothered. Anyway, I saw this come up. So I got in touch with Dean and asked him to do a review for me. Mainly I was worried about security, you know, cause just making sure the security was tight. but also if there's any sort of recommendations. There's so many things in AWS and I've got no clue about what they all are. It's like, should I be using something else? Would that be better? Would that be cheaper? Would it be more reliable and all that? And he came back with a load of recommendations, which were amazing. I mean, the good thing was the security is pretty good. There's a couple of things we could improve, but that was the main thing. But there's loads of other recommendations about saving money. And of course, I decided to embark on some of those rather than do what I should be doing. One of them was upgrading the database. The software, it runs on Postgres, but it's upgrading the version because the version I was using was quite old. And it was all great. And I upgraded the version and then everything looked fine. I did it sort of over the weekend and it was looking great. I was really pleased with myself. And then on the Monday at the rush hour, sort of main times of the day, 100% CPU, oh shit, database is crashing. And it wasn't crashing. The system was fine. It was running okay, but 100% CPU for any time is never good.
Hmm.
So I created a job for myself in working out what the queries were that were causing that and then fixing them. So fortunately, touch wood, that looks like that's resolved now. So I can get back on these recommendations when I've got the time to make things better. But it's classic stuff. You know, oh, that's a great idea. We'll get these recommendations. Oh yeah, that's good. I'll just fix that. It won't take too long. And then create more problems for yourself and off you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, like I say, sorted now and I can get back to normal stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, have a good weekend.
Yes, you too.
Hope things get, you know, things are a bit cheerier over the next week or two.
Wow, getting back to golf, like I said, on Monday. So my productivity will slump now and no podcast till the autumn.
maybe golf.io will make
it probably will, yeah.
reappearance.
Oh dear.
What's happening with that now? Is that just sitting there languishing?
Just sitting there languishing, yeah. It's not on my quarterly planning, so I can't touch it.
No, you've got to leave it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right, then.
All right. Take care. Speak to you soon.
Angie. Cheers, Nick. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.